Brahma,
Brahma,
Lord Brahma,
Lord Brahma.
Uvacha,
Uvacha,
said,
Twaya,
by you,
Ne,
my,
Apachiti,
worship,
Tata,
O son,
Kalpita,
is accomplished, Nirvyalikata,
without duplicity.
Yet,
since,
may,
my,
Sanjagrahe,
having completely accepted,
Vakyam,
instructions,
Bhavan,
you,
Manada,
O
Kardama,
one who offers honor to others,
Manayan,
respecting.
Translation.
Lord Brahma said,
my dear son Gardama,
since you have completely accepted my instructions without duplicity,
showing them proper respect,
you have worshipped me properly.
Whatever instructions you took from me,
you have carried out,
and thereby
you have honored me.
Purport.
Lord Brahma,
as the first living entity within the universe,
is supposed to be the spiritual master of everyone.
And he is also the father,
the creator of all living beings.
Gardama Muni is one of the Prajapatis,
or creators of the living entities.
And he is also a son of Brahma.
Brahma praises Gardama
because he carried out the orders of the spiritual master in toto and without cheating.
A conditioned soul in the material world has the disqualification of cheating.
He has four disqualifications.
He is sure to commit mistakes.
He is sure to be illusioned.
He is prone to cheat others,
and his senses are imperfect.
But if one carries out the order of the spiritual master by succession,
or the parampara system,
he overcomes the four defects.
Therefore, knowledge received from the bona fide spiritual master is not cheating.
Any other knowledge which is manufactured by the conditioned soul is cheating only.
Brahma knew well
that Kardama Muni exactly carried out the instructions received from him,
and that he actually honored his spiritual master.
To honor the spiritual master means to carry out his instructions word for word.
Translation again.
Lord Brahma said,
my dear son Gardama,
since you have completely accepted my instructions without duplicity,
showing them proper respect,
you have worshipped me properly.
Whatever instructions you took from me,
you have carried out,
and thereby you have honored me.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Lord Brahma has his gladdened senses and pure heart. We spoke about that yesterday, how this is a wonderful ingredient in bhakti, which makes the offering to Krishna tasty.
You yourself don't want anything shoved at you in a mechanical way.
You want things done for you with feeling and care.
That is bhakti.
Bhakti is meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
There are three things which are completely beyond the material realm.
That is, bhakti, the process of devotional service,
the bhakta, the devotee,
and Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enlivens his devotees with ever-increasing stimulation and ecstatic love.
You see, Krishna has what it takes to plunge you in a pool of ever-increasing stimulation.
That is what you want.
You want ever-increasing stimulation in love.
But to satisfy that loving propensity,
You make the big mistake by turning to the material world and seek fulfillment in that way. In bhakti yoga, we do not deny the loving tendency. In fact, in bhakti yoga, we give full scope for the loving propensity to ever increase. Simply, in the beginning, we've got to re-educate ourselves. We've got to retool our factory. In the beginning, we have an idea. As I've said before, I know what love is. I know what a loving exchange is. When love hits me, I'll recognize it without a doubt. We need some purification to understand that we don't know much about love at all. With that kind of humility, then we can properly engage in the devotional service of the Lord, and Krishna will reveal to us what is love and what is the pool of ever-increasing stimulation in ecstatic love. Just like during the month of Kartik, we're singing, Iti driksa lilabhi anandakunde swagosham namajantam akya payantam. Baby Krishna, Bal Gopal, plunges the inhabitants of Braj into pools of liquid ecstasy. Don't feel insecure about Krishna. Krishna is the most expert in fulfilling your heart. But because of our birth after birth experiences, trying to get reciprocation for material existence and being frustrated, then when we look at Krishna, we also feel some insecurity. Oh, is this going to work out? Is Krishna all that the Shastras say he is? How much am I going to be able to experience Krishna before the modes of material nature run me over? Do I have a chance? Or is it worth it? To answer these questions, we require a steady diet of contact with Krishna. Now, Lord Brahma is setting the standard as the head of our sampradaya. He knows what's going on. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila Dev, is about to appear. First, Brahma goes to Kardama. And to Kardama Muni, he bestows his benedictions. It's very important what he's saying. My dear son, Kardama, since you have completely accepted my instructions without duplicity, showing them proper respect, you have worshipped me properly. Whatever instructions you took from me, you carried out, and thereby you have honored me. So in the purport, Prabhupada summarizes this very important necessity for Krishna conscious development. He says, to honor the spiritual master means to carry out his instructions word for word. Now, Brahma is revealing his heart to his son Kardama Muni. You've done this. You've honored me. You, without duplicity, took what I said and carried it out. In this way, you've worshipped me. In this way, you've honored me. This is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. If we're going to be settled and secure in bhakti, we need to understand, without a doubt, that Krishna consciousness is a mystery. Mysterious in that it's dealing with ecstatic love of Krishna. You can't penetrate this mystery by ordinary material methods. You can't penetrate this mystery by your material intelligence. You may be a sharp-witted person. You may be an expert research scholar. You may be street savvy, street wise. You may be an expert business person. Whatever. When it comes to Krishna, these material characteristics will not allow you access into this mysterious realm. The sooner we accept that, then we can become peaceful and get on with our life. Everyone wants to get on with their life. You don't want to be impeded. You don't want to be interfered with. If you get the impression that someone's interfering with your life and your choices, you get angry, right? Hey, you're blocking my thing. You're getting in the way of my scene. I'm trying to get on with my life, and you're throwing impediments in my path. You get angry because someone dares to impede your desires. So we all want to have that feeling that we're getting on with our life. Krishna consciousness is the most appropriate arena for getting on with your life. Krishna wants to give you that feeling. Yes, let's get on with the bhakti. Now, in order to let those bhakti times roll, you've got to have a little consideration for Krishna so he can do his thing for you. If you're always like being a bit, you know, rowdy, you're always being a bit, you know, stubborn, you're being very reserved and guarded, then how can Krishna reveal to you the mystery of bhakti yoga? And what is that mystery? Ecstatic love of Krishna. Brahma is revealing the mystery to Kardama. Since you've pleased me, therefore your life is complete. Brahma compliments also the daughters of Kardama Muni. He tells Kardama, I'm praising your daughters, your nine daughters. They're all, first of all, they're physically beautiful. Sumajama. Brahma's giving credit where credit's due. They've got thin waists. That is the Vedic standard of beauty. Thin waist, the rest of the parts of the body are big. It's different from the standard for models today. Yes, in which everything is like a toothpick. No, Brahma knows what beauty is. He's Adi Kavi, the smartest person in the universe. So he says to Kardama Muni, all your nine daughters, Sumajama, thin-waisted beauties. But also, they're satya, they're chaste. This is a combination that you don't find in the material world. You don't find that in so-called civilization today. You don't find beauty combined with chasteness. No. People think the two are completely irrelevant. If there's physical beauty, then there must be degradation. That's what beauty is meant for. But in Vedic culture, beauty is heightened by chastity, by purity. So Brahma points that out in the process of praising Kardama Muni for his good progeny, very good daughters. Then Brahma points out, furthermore though, right now in the womb of your wife, Devahuti, there is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when that Lord appears, he will travel the world and uproot the deep-seated desire for karmic activity. This is a very nice point to meditate on. What is my addiction to karmic work? What is my addiction to activities for my own sense gratification? The field of karmic activity means two things. You're fighting off distress, which is the product of papa, sinful activities, and you're trying to attract happiness, which is the product of punya, pious activities. So this is life in the realm of karmic activity. You're fighting and you're trying to attract to yourself. You're fighting off all the distress and you're trying to attract to you all material happiness. And in pursuit of these goals on the karmic battlefield, you sometimes think that if I ally myself with somebody else, together we'll fight this battle. Together we'll beat back distress and we'll attract all happiness. So this is the world of karmic affairs. Lord Kapiladeva has appeared to uproot the deep-seated desire for acting in this way, for acting for your own sense gratification. Yes, it's hard. And many of you know, in your efforts to be Krishna conscious, it's hard to get out of the habit of acting for your own sense gratification. Otherwise, what else do you do? Who is Krishna? Where are Krishna's senses? How do you connect with Krishna's senses? The more that Krishna becomes real for you, that means Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, the more that becomes a daily reality for you, the more you'll feel secure and peaceful in Krishna consciousness. The unsteadiness and the flickering comes because we're not sure about Krishna. Yeah, this place here is kind of nice. I mean, you know, it's not like the rat race of material existence. Yeah, most people here, they're pretty good. Got a few wild ones, a few spacers, but generally, you know, things are pretty nice here. Yeah, I think I could hang with the pace for a while, you know. But you wonder, could I spend my whole life doing this? Just think about it. 10 years. 20 years. 30 years. 40 years. 50 years. Could you do it? Your material intelligence starts to tell you, maybe after a few years, this could just be the same old thing again and again and again. I mean, I live across the street. Every day I come across the street and come, and I look at the same deities every day. I hear the same songs every day. In fact, I even see some of the same people I've been seeing for decades. Can I be satisfied in that way? This is the question in the back of your mind. Once you get the feeling that indeed the pool of transcendental love of Krishna, devotional service, is bottomless, then you feel secure. Once you feel secure in bhakti, you can move very quickly. But as long as that insecurity is there, you're a bit fidgety, you're a bit unsettled, you're subject to be tipped over because of lack of confidence in Krishna, lack of feeling secure in devotional service. What are ways that you can develop this security? If indeed you immerse your senses and your heart in the process of sadhana bhakti, devotional service according to rules and regulations, in which it seems like you're doing the same thing every day, the wonders of the spiritual world will start to be revealed to you. Indeed, you'll get a feeling for being in a bottomless pool. That's the advantage of doing the same thing every day, day after day after day. Gradually, the material vision starts to lift, and you see that although materially it looks like I'm doing the same thing every day, spiritually I've entered an unlimited sea of transcendental exchanges with Krishna. Just like the books we study, for example. If you have some kind of intellectual propensity or you like knowledge, it would seem that the more books you read, the more you'll satisfy that propensity. The more newer kinds of knowledge, fields of study that you're embarking upon, the more your intelligence will be satisfied. It's a great experience, I found, and I heartily recommend it for everyone. If you focus on Prabhupada's books year after year, decade after decade, even though materially your intelligence may tell you, hey, come on, you've read Gita 10 times. You've read Krishna book 20 times. You've read all the cantos a couple of times. And you pretty much know Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, you've been there, done that. If you can resist that material tendency and just decade after decade immerse yourself in Prabhupada's books, you'll be shown that the unlimited spiritual world exists. There's one quote by Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita in which he's talking about Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Rupa Goswami, in which Mahaprabhu tells Rupa Goswami part of the devotional sadhana is that one should not read many books. So in the purport, Prabhupada gives us wonderful help. He says that I've given
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, Krishna books included in Bhagavatam. Reading these four books is sufficient for anyone to be Krishna conscious and to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, simply by reading these four books. The Prabhupada explained the principle is that if one is going to read a book, one must study it thoroughly. Not that you just get a whole bunch of, you know, shastras and other books around you and you breeze through this one, take a bit from that one, and no. So the principle is, if you're going to read something, you read it thoroughly. So therefore he recommended, I have given you these four books. It is sufficient, not only for you to be Krishna conscious, but for you, also for you to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Now, personally I found, as the decades roll by, that it's a great experience to feel that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, even the same tune, simply by reading Prabhupada's books, I can see an unlimited ocean of expansion in devotional service. When you get that feeling, then you're secure. Some of you have had the experience. Just like at the beginning of this month, I was in Russia at our annual festival there on the Black Sea. 4,000 devotees came. Biggest festival ever in ISKCON history, 4,000 devotees. And the festival ended. You can ask Divya Gyan about it. He was there with me, or Bhumna Krishna. He was there with me. So the festival ended with a wonderful evening program in which Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj showed his multimedia deity slideshow while Shivaran Maharaj played his harmonium, had his bhajan band with him, and sang the same tune for 2 hours. Now, where else can you go, you know, to find devotees? They start off sitting down, and then after the first 45 minutes, everyone was jumping up and dancing. The same tune for over 2 hours. The same tune. In fact, it was like 2.5 hours, the same tune, just a slight variation of the same tune. And everyone is just plunged in a pool of ecstasy. When you have that kind of experience, then you know how simple spiritual life is. What has Lord Chaitanya given me? I can just chant even the same tune. And I can see the spiritual world. I can just read Krishna book over and over again. And I think I know it all. And I see newer and newer things. When you get that experience, then you feel secure in Krishna consciousness. So this was such an extraordinary sight to see. 4,000 devotees just mesmerized in spiritual variegatedness by singing the same tune for 2.5 hours. Then by the time it was 10:30, Vyasaki Prabhu took over for another 2 hours of kirtan. So when those experiences happen to you, you start to understand my material concepts of what happiness is and how happiness can be obtained are quite silly and foolish, and in fact, often quite lethal. But look at what Krishna has given me. I can chant Hare Krishna. I can dance in ecstasy. I can hear Srimad Bhagavatam again and again and again. And I'm feeling secure and satisfied. I remember the first time I read one volume of this third canto. I think it's the equivalent now of third canto, volume 2 or something. You have it all in one volume maybe. I don't know. But when the cantos first started coming out, the volumes varied in size. So anyway, one volume of third canto had about 5 chapters in it. So I remember the first time I got it as a Sankirtan devotee in New York. This third canto, volume 2. Wow. And it had all about Kardama Muni and Devahuti in it. We had a day off on Sankirtan. It was the new thing. And it hit in 1975, in the beginning of 75. You know, some Sankirtan devotees from L.A. had come through New York and were spreading the new thing. You can take a day off a week on Sankirtan. All the big guns were doing that, you know. Take a day off for hearing and chanting. So, wow, a day off. Otherwise, we were 7 days a week. I remember when it came time for the Sunday feast, the Sankirtan leader would say, okay, who's in Maya? Who wants to stay back for the Sunday feast? Of course, no, we're not in Maya. We'll be out there. Of course, we wanted to be back for the Sunday feast. But in any case, the news came in 75 from the big guns from L.A. It's good to take a day off, one day a week, and read the books. Because I was always reading because I just couldn't exist without that. But the other devotees, they were so happy. A day off to read. So I got this Bhagavatam, third canto, volume 2, fresh off the press. So I remember reading it. I started early in the morning. I finished the whole volume in the evening. I was so happy. Wow, I read a whole volume of Bhagavatam in one day. My life is so complete. I don't need anything more than this. So that's just one example of the kind of experiences you should be having in bhakti yoga, which will make you feel secure. And then you won't hold grudges against Krishna. Krishna, I'm giving you everything. Well, almost anyway. Now, are you really going to deliver the goods to me? I mean, are you really? I mean, you know, I know you do it for Brahma. I know you do it for Kardama Muni. But little old me, at the bottom of Kali Yuga, the pit of Kali Yuga, are you really going to do it for me? I just need a few signs, Krishna. I can do more for you. You know, there's a I could do a bit more service if you just give me a bit of security, you know. Krishna's overwhelming us with opportunities to feel secure in his service. But we have to know what to look for. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada is talking about the role of the spiritual master. And how the disciple carries out the order of the spiritual master in toto, without cheating, word for word. Now, this is part of the bhakti mystery. How does that mystery work? You see, you have a contradiction, a paradox. On the one hand, the spiritual master thinks he's just the humble, tiny servant of the Supreme Lord. That's one vision. On the other side, there's another vision in that the disciple sees the spiritual master as representing the disciple succession, as being the medium by which service to Krishna is transmitted. So both these visions are correct. It's a mystery, though, how one person can see himself, I'm just a tiny servant of Krishna. The other person is saying, that person's representing Krishna. How does this come together? That is the mystery of bhakti. Now, why does one accept a spiritual master? Is it because, you know, if you don't accept one, if you don't have a picture on your wall, they get on your case, you know. If you don't get a name changed, people start looking at you funny, like, you know, what are you, Ritvik in disguise or something? What's going on? You know? Everybody else has got one. You got to have a guru too. Yeah. What kind of guru should it be? Should it be, you know, maybe, as we were discussing yesterday, someone who's kind of far away and distant who will just come every blue moon and smile at me? Yeah, that might be kind of nice, you know? Or maybe someone who I see, you know, frequently. But, yeah, it'd be nice to see frequently. But I wonder, maybe sometimes the advice might get a little too close for comfort. What to do? So you start talking to devotees, you know. Hey, what do you think? You know, I mean, you know, like you try to make a strategic investment, you know. You know, you calculate all the odds, you know. And so what's going on? What's this system all about?
It's all part of the mystery of Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, look, if you want to please me, you follow my system. So it's something we do in order to please Krishna. It's personal. Because Krishna says, if you want to understand bhakti and all the techniques I've taught you in the Gita, then you approach a spiritual master. You're doing it to please Krishna. It's Krishna's system, and therefore Krishna takes responsibility. Just like if you work at a place and some accident happens to you at the workplace, well, you're covered by compensation. Krishna himself, he doesn't cover up. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Sakalenaha mahata yoga nashta prantapa. Krishna admits, from time to time, my system can appear to break down. How's that? The Supreme Personality of God is admitting, life in the material world is tough. Even my system for distributing transcendental knowledge can appear to break down due to the influence of time, which spoils everything. So the Lord's not covering up. He's being straightforward. It does happen. But Krishna says, when that happens, I personally do something about it because it's my personal system. So Krishna owns up, he admits, yep, life in the jagat, in the material, can be tough, you know. The message of Bhagavad Gita can appear to be lost, but I always do something about it. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever, wherever this happens, I'm going to do something about it. This is Krishna giving security, giving conviction. Yeah, these things can happen, but I will personally deal with it. So therefore, Krishna urges, you want to understand me, then you do it my way. Because this is my personal system. Everything is personal. Krishna is saying, because I'm the personality of Godhead, and you want to know me, do it my way. It'll work for you. I'll back you up. Now, we were speaking yesterday about attitude in devotional service. That is the most important realm of guidance that we need. How to refine our attitude, because that's what Krishna wants to taste. Your attitude in rendering service. How to deal with your service attitude amidst this complex material world. In order to attract Krishna's attention, we do things Krishna's way. We take guidance in how to mold our attitude in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And then Krishna takes notice of us. Just as Lord Brahma is taking notice of Kardama. Actually, in conclusion, let us remember, Lord Brahma heard the same thing that he's telling Kardama. He himself heard that from Krishna. In the second canto of Bhagavatam, what does Krishna tell Brahma? Because of your non-duplicitous performance of bhakti yoga, I'm going to reveal myself to you. I'm going to reveal everything about me, my name, my form, my qualities, my pastimes. Let it all be awakened in you because of your honest execution of the transcendental loving service to the Lord. Any questions? Yes.
You talk about reading just Prabhupada's books. What about, say, books by Prabhupada's disciples? And what about, say, other books by other Goswamis? Like, you know, Rupa Goswami, Bhagavad Bhagamrita, things of that nature.
Mainly, our mainstay is Prabhupada's books, so mainly that's what we should be reading. You don't have to take things to an extreme, but we should understand what our mainstay is. Once we understand what our mainstay is, we'll see that, as Prabhupada said, he's given us so many books, we don't have time enough in one lifetime to get to the bottom of them. But yes, after we have at least a basic acquaintance with Prabhupada's books, books by other, by disciples of Prabhupada, that's all right, but let's just remember what the main meal is. Don't confuse the main meal with the a la carte. Let's just keep it all in perspective. I myself, my own personal instruction to my disciples is that before they even think of reading anything else, they should first read all of Prabhupada's books. Get the foundation laid. We don't want to be fanatical, but at the same time, we want to understand what the main meal is and deal with it. A little bit of a la carte, okay, but you know, don't confuse the a la carte with the main course. All right? As far as Goswami literature, that's what we're studying, Prabhupada Goswami. We have to be careful. We don't want to be fanatical. We don't want to be disrespectful. But time is short. And how do we know what is real Goswami literature? You might go to Vrindavan. I'll just take a few minutes for this point because it's important. We might go to Vrindavan, so many bookshops in Lohi Bazaar. You've been? Yeah? You know? Full of books by the Goswamis. Ooh, look at this one. Yeah. Ah, a Mukta Charita, a Dana Charita. Raghunath Das Goswami. Yeah, this is kind of the nectar. How do you know what those books? Well, how do you know the quality? How do you know the fidelity of the translation? You don't. You're taking your chances. It's like if you get Brihad Bhagavatamrita by the BBT team, headed by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. He's so honest, he's so non-duplicitous, that at the back of the book, he has a list of all the statements in the purports that, little statements he inserted, which are not there in Sanatan Goswami's original text. That is a real selfless offering. So you get a feeling that, yes, I'm on safe ground here. But what makes you so sure that you can just walk into any bookshop in Lohi Bazaar and, oh, look at this, yeah, nectar. Yeah, I'll take a stack of these. Boy, when I get back to Los Angeles, I'll impress everybody with my knowledge of the intimate leelas. Yeah, this is all the stuff Prabhupada didn't tell us. How do you know what you're getting into? So, one has to be very careful and rely on guidance. Oh, you get guidance in these affairs and you'll avoid being extremely fanatical, and you'll avoid being wide open to whatever comes down the pike.